And here it is for the first time in the new slot on a Wednesday morning at 8.30. Well, it's 8.31 to be precise. So
we're late
already. Can you believe it? Gavin Steinhovel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc., moved from the afternoon show with me to the morning show. Lovely to be together again. Gav, you've had a wonderful break, an international adventure.
Good to be back,
And what was your, honest opinion, looking at the world through now much more perspective that you've been physically across the pond and spent time in various countries, like Turkey, for instance. And then the slopes where the mountains are white and marvelous. And looking across that distance back to South Africa, how bad are our problems in comparison to what the rest of the world is going
through? That's such a good question. I was sort of very iffy about going to Turkey, especially because of the collapse of Syria, their neighbor, and their involvement in sort of helping Assad on his way. And I thought, it could be like a bit restless, but Istanbul's quite far north of that. So I was very, very pleasantly surprised. The Turks are wonderful people, very friendly, very us. To go through a city like Barcelona and see all those, see Gaudi's Sagrada Familia and to go into those museums and the art exhibitions and that, it's lovely to be able to do, which we obviously, we're behind on that here. But yeah, generally it's always good. It's never an indictment on your holiday when the wheels touch down in South Africa and you just go, wow, it's so good to be home.
Now, you're a property expert in terms of your legal practice. You spend a large percentage of your time involved in property-related matters, and folk were saying, possibly this year we should spend more time looking at property issues. I was just wondering whether, and you have been away, so possibly the electricity outages haven't affected you as much as they have other sectors of the community. But certainly the general zeitgeist is that Ballito and environs, as an investment destination, might suffer as a result of failing infrastructure and the municipality's seeming inability to fix it. What is your view on that?
Yeah, it's going to obviously be, I think anybody who's making a decision to move, it's generally us or the Western Cape. And I think, obviously you have your positives and your negatives, and in a negative you will definitely have to acknowledge that Ballito is not on top of its power grid, and there's a lot of development coming, and what that means when we're already behind the curve will be concerning. There's a lot of properties to be built and to be connected to the grid. So it is alarming. It's especially frustrating because the scenario has been known for 20 years. Ever since I arrived in Ballito, it was an issue that, they had to do something about. You can't just keep tacking on residences onto the system if you're not upgrading and maintaining the system properly. So I think what we're seeing at the moment is probably related to that, although I don't really know what the cause is. I haven't really seen any real explanation, other than I've noticed that the power is hardly on since I've been back.
Yeah.
And it always seems to be in Ballito, whenever there's rain and wind, our power goes. So I don't know if that's something that needs addressing. The traffic lights go out every time. There must be something that can be done. It doesn't happen in other places when it rains. Generally the electricity stays on. So there's something wrong. I don't know enough about it to really have an opinion. But will it be a negative? Yes, it will be a negative. Will it outweigh the positives? I'm not so sure about that.
Because
you go to Cape Town in any time between sort of March and August, and it's a dreadful place to be. It's raining, and
talking about the electrical problems and possible water problems to follow, because there's lots of evidence to suggest that. Mm-hmm. If Caesar Water is given the heave-ho, which the municipality seems to be trying to do, and taking it over themselves, then we'll be in a situation of double whammy.
Mm.
And a lot of folk are saying, I'm just going to go off the grid. I'm going to connect to the sun, and I'm going to connect to the rain, and I'm going to, it is.
That's all fine and well. I've got solar at home, and so, I was hoping it would fill the batteries up a bit today, but it's an overcast day, so I'm not going to manage to do that today. So I don't know. Off-grid, I suppose everybody would like to be less reliant on government, local government or provincial government or even national government, because of the incompetence and the perceived incompetence, at least, and the fact that, you know, it just historically isn't a good bet. But yeah, with I don't know enough about the technology. I'd imagine we're quite far down the line where you can relatively go off grid properly if you really wanted to. Probably have to be some sort of a mix between the solar and the wind. You know, we do get a lot of wind here as well, so. You know, I think between those two, you could probably keep your batteries topped up.
Yeah, you know, technology is definitely improving. It's not ideal. You know, one still would like to know that there is a stable grid, because although your little home and hearth and home might be fine around you, it might not be marvelous.
I think the economics of a day are quite important to consider. Like, an economy needs a cheap source of electricity for industry. And as we're going to see, when the trend goes towards, you know, electric vehicles, and it seems inevitable to me, but anyway, you know, we're going to have to have cheap electricity. Now, you can't have cheap electricity if nobody's paying for it, because everyone's going off the grid. And so, you know, I don't think you can run factories on solar, and I don't think, you know, you're going to be able to charge all those vehicles on solar. I don't know enough about it, but I would imagine it's quite important to have a lot of people paying into, you know, a multiplayer system where a lot of people are paying into to have electricity generated for us cheaply. And it's always been sort of cheaper when it's done centrally as opposed to locally, you know. So I'd imagine that we just need to fix what we've got. I see Germany, that birdie there, for Alternative für Deutschland, is her. She's the right wing. All over Europe, the right wing seems to be coming back and saying, well, you know, this open border thing is nonsense. It's been terribly bad for the working class of those countries. But one of the things she said was, you know, Germany was at the forefront of green energy, and she said it was just they've lost a lot of their industry as a result, because, you know, it's a country that the sun doesn't really shine that much there, and they mothballed. They're the only country ever to mothball their nuclear power stations, and she's acknowledged. She says we're going to have to open them again, and nuclear power is going to have to be the future. Yeah. So I'd imagine that's also something that this country can do. Nuclear power is obviously a difficult one, because most countries that have got nuclear power stations, it's a short hop from there to a nuclear bomb. So you can't really go doling out that sort of scientific knowledge and those systems all over the world, because otherwise everybody will be armed to the teeth, which is probably just going to be a bad idea. But, I think ours is just all massive own goals. I mean, we have the technology, we've got the power stations, we just don't have very honest people running them or competent people running them. And, you know, I thought last year was a great year for electricity. We really just...
We came back, didn't we?
We seemed like we put it behind us.
Yeah. And look, nationally it does seem to have been put on the back burner. I'm talking about load shedding. But we've managed to, however, as you say, score an own goal locally. It's playing itself out as we speak.
I think there's a lot of frustration, Dave, and I mean, you know, we all take electricity for granted, and people are understandably frustrated, especially people that haven't really made that plan B. You know, a lot of people were thinking about it a year and a half ago, and then kind of things came right. So you go, I'm not going to incur that massive expense to go off grid, as it were, and now being caught out and saying, well, you know, they're kind of forcing us to have a plan B. A lot of people have a plan B already, and seem, but they're not unaffected, because you can only run these batteries and that for so many days, and then, you know,
it becomes academic.
Yeah. So we all in the same boat at the moment. Let's be.
But on the positive side, you say that there are developments in the offing that are yet to see the light, that they've been planned and approved and they're growing.
Yeah, and I think also in that space, you know, there's a lot of thought is going into being more efficient power-wise, heating-wise, lighting-wise, and so on. So I also think technology of necessity is going to alleviate the problem a lot as well. You know, and I'd imagine that the new developments are all thinking along those lines. There is some really exciting stuff that should and could come online this year, so we should invite some of those developers in and have a chat to them in the next couple of weeks. But there's some exciting stuff, and I hope that they're starting to turn soil and starting to pre-sell these units. There's some development down there where I am at on the beachfront there. The square is going up in front of Mozambique. That's going to be a very nice little block with a bit of a retail and residential component. There's a little office block that's being planned that way as well.
So the Belita Village is continuing its trajectory.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, it's
looking good.
It's just getting better and better down there. You know, it was very tired. And
is the park in front of the green patch that used to be a shopping center going to be turned back into a shopping center?
Yes, yeah. That's the plan. Well, not really a shopping center. It's going to be more a residential block of flats, but it's going to have downstairs a very small retail component.
Okay.
Probably, one of the national retailers on a smaller sort of scale. Just a little convenience store more than anything else.
Well, we must definitely, in the coming weeks, as you say, connect with all of those developers. Let's find out what's happening. You'll hear about it first with Gavin Steinhobel in the morning on a Wednesday. And Gavin, I think that's a good point.
Another thing that's also taken off that's very exciting, and there's more of them coming, is a sort of Fairview development that's sort of 2 to 20 hectare size, where people are going out there, doing a little bit of macadamia or whatever, and sort of gentleman farmers. And that's also become very popular, and it's done really, really well. You know, a lot of people have moved out there already, and those are the sort of guys who probably will be able to go off the grid, as it were, and...
It's very exciting because you talk about living healthily, growing your own organic vegetables, raising a couple of chickens, having it's interesting if you can afford it. Of course, it doesn't come cheap, but there is lots of excitement in this North Coast region, and you'll hear about it in the weeks to come as Gavin Steinhobel joins me every Wednesday morning at 8:30. For a catch-up. Gavin, it's been lovely reconnecting. I look forward to continuing the conversation in a week.
Yeah, we'll get one or two of our developer buddies out here, and they can tell us what's coming.
Looking forward to it. And the morning show continues.